Hi, Scott.
Who's calling?
My name's Jeffrey Hill.
Hello, Jeffrey Hill.
Hi. I was sorry to bother you, but I was calling you because I came across your video on YouTube.
Thank you.
The one you took of on 9/11.
Right.
And I was wondering if you had more of that video on the internet anywhere or anything.
I don't really know what got put on the on YouTube.
It's just like a 1 minute clip or something of the plane going into the building.
Somebody, I didn't put it there. Somebody must have put it there. But at least they credited me.
Yeah. I've seen the pictures. They used some of your footage in the NIST report too.
That's right. That's the best part.
Yeah. Well, I was also wondering where your camera was set up.
I was across the street. I lived at 12 John Street on the penthouse and had been there since 91. And we were home that day, and so I'm an engineer, and instead of trying to take movies, I just put it out on a tripod a few minutes after the first plane and let it run until I had to bring it in because there was too much debris on it.
Did you end up getting, like, the collapse of the towers or anything on the footage? Or?
No, capture the second impact, and I left the camera out for about 20 minutes afterwards. But at that point, there was just so much debris, and I was there with my wife and our son.
Mm-hmm.
I grabbed it so that the camera wouldn't get destroyed. Got it back in.
So were you, like, at the camera when the plane hit?
No, I was in the apartment. My son and I saw the first plane coming in from the north and hit with our own eyes. And a few minutes later, I didn't know what it was, you know, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
My son was very bright, and he said it's going the wrong way because the planes usually go from the south up the Hudson to turn at the 59th Street Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I had been working with the camera the day before on a project, engineering project, so I just wanted to record it, and I brought the camera out and put it on a tripod and left it. And mostly I attended to the children, to Taylor and to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
At that point.
Okay, so you weren't there when the plane hit then, eh?
Oh, yeah, no, we were.
So you seen the plane, the second plane, too?
Yeah, and the camera captured the second plane hitting.
Right. And you said you also saw the first plane?
With my own eyes.
You saw it, like, impact the tower?
Correct. Taylor and I were in the living room, and the terrace of the penthouse is due west, and I had put in double doors, so we were looking out the double doors that morning. He was home from the second day of first grade because he had a little fever. And I'd gone out to get Tylenol at Duane Reade and then came back. And we were playing on the floor in the living room, and we're looking out the window and saw the first plane come in and hit.
Like, did you see the markings on it and everything? Were you close enough?
Yep.
And you could tell it was American Airlines? Yeah?
100%.
Were you aware of all the controversy on surrounding 9/11?
100%. And I've looked at it carefully and analytically, and it's clear to me that there are two planes, and they were loaded with fuel, and they both hit the towers.
And you said you're an engineer, too?
Correct.
So you...
The last project was in Salt Lake City, working on the Boeing 787, the Dreamliner. It's made out of carbon fiber.
Well, it seems like... a lot of people think that, they think the videos of the planes are fake, okay?
But they're not. And I took it myself, so I'm 100% sure.
And you would also say that it was possible for the plane to completely go into the building with no reaction or anything?
Absolutely.
Really?
The buildings themselves were actually designed and built a little like airplane wings. There's a framework and then a superstructure skin on the outside, and a plane. plane going at 400 or 560 miles an hour, loaded with fuel, has an enormous amount of velocity and momentum. And those were lightweight buildings. They were designed to be lightweight so that they could be that tall and to be constructed quickly, and that they were able to withstand vibration and wind. And it's the best way to think of them is as a wing on an airplane that's now vertical instead of horizontal.
Yeah, but for like an aluminum, like the wing, to be able to slice through the steel and concrete beams.
It's absolutely, and the reason is that it's going at a high speed, and that it's already heavy. A wing on a plane is also where the fuel tanks are.
Yeah, the fuel is in the wings, yeah. Have you seen other videos that show the nose of the plane coming out the other side?
Oh, yeah, all that stuff. And the plane, the picture I took shows the engine of the plane popping out, and it landed on VC Street, and they picked it up.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to think that that's not an engine from a 767. It's too
small. Well, I think it is, and I have that tape, and the tape was also used by the New York Times and by the Coast Guard. It was used for Fahrenheit 9/11. I saw the engine. I saw the engine on the video. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind.
And
I don't care one way or another. I'd be perfectly happy if it was a conspiracy. The problem wasn't that day. The problem was the asshole government's reaction to it. But that clearly was two planes going into two buildings.
And you believe the official story that goes along with everything, like how the towers collapsed, like they just kind of exploded into the dust? And
I actually do.
And
it's not because I need to or want to. Like I said, I lived in that neighborhood since 91. The buildings were 1 acre per floor. The trusses that were there were across the length of the flooring, and they collapsed downward because the way the buildings were built, they were flanges and they were connected to the upright. There were if it had fallen to the east, it would have hit us directly. That's how close I was. So I was very interested in the accurate, honest detail of the physical event of the day. The political event was something else, but the physical event of the day was clearly, simply, two planes loaded with fuel hitting two buildings.
Did either of the planes do anything strange when they were approaching, or?
No.
They just kind of flew straight in?
Yep. Second plane did a 180 and then gunned it before it hit.
It did.
And even though the second plane hit lower and hit later than the first plane, the South Tower fell first because of the way that it was hit.
Okay, I'm sorry, what do you mean the second plane did a 180?
Second plane was coming from the north, just like the first plane, coming from Boston. So in order to get to the south side of the South Tower, it had to do a 180 and then come into the building.
So it made a big turn before it came in on its approach?
Exactly. And as it did, it apparently, throttled the thing up to full speed. So
was it a very loud noise, the second plane? Could you hear, like, loud screaming engines?
When Bruce Willis did the movies, the Armageddon movies about Die Hard, Die Hard is a Vengeance,
And
any other movie, Hollywood movie, that tries to describe a disaster or a Holocaust, they didn't even come close. I mean, a real plane hitting a real building is just a huge, enormous event. And, the fire plume went up a third the height of the building. And that's what happens when you have that much jet fuel.
Yeah, well, the only, like I said, the only problem is, like, a lot of people would expect to see some sort of reaction on impact, not the whole plane being able to be absorbed by the building and disappear inside it before anything happens.
Well, if you think about it, and you have a rifle, for instance, and you pull the trigger, and then it hits the shell, guns don't fire immediately. First, the firing pin hits, and then the back of the bullet opens up, and then the gunpowder ignites, and then it builds to a certain potential, and then the bullet comes out the front. So there's a natural physical sequence here. And when you have a plane, an aluminum plane with an infrastructure that's like a grid, and it's traveling at high speed, and it's loaded with fuel, what you really, the kinetics of it are that it's going to hit, it's going to fly into it, the fuel is going to spill out, the fuel is going to have to get to a certain combination of air and fuel and some source to ignite it, and then it's going to explode. So there is a real sequence to it, and I understand that sequence. NIST had, I have very, very close relationship with NIST, and I'm 100% aware of their ethic and their intellect and their methodical approach to the entire event.
I had spoke with a gentleman at NIST, Bill Pitts.
Sure.
And even he said that he was amazed how the building, his words were, the building just ate the plane.
Building ate the plane, yep.
And that there wasn't an initial ignition, that the plane went into the building.
Right.
And then ignited. He was even amazed by that.
Well, and that whole group was skeptical. And they were appropriately skeptical. They needed evidence. They are very close to the scientific method. They need to see empirical proof. And they need to have an explanation.
And yourself, like you said, you agree with the pancake collapse?
Yes, absolutely.
And how about Building 7? Do you think that was because of fire and damage, too?
Building 7 was also a place where fuel was stored for emergency generators. It was a completely stupid place to do it. And that fuel not only ignited and destroyed the building, to my belief, but it also seeped into the ground. That's why that fire burned for 5 months.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever hear anything like, say, such as molten metal streaming in the basements of the trade centers after?
The fuel went down the elevator shaft and ignited and blew out the windows in the lobby, as I understand it. Mm-hmm. And there was plenty of reason to know that the insulation on the beams was of poor quality, especially in building 6 in the south tower of the World Trade Center, because that was done irregularly, and the first third of it was asbestos, but there was no even consistency, and the adhesion had gotten old. One of the absolutely interesting things to me is that the Port Authority knew that the insulation on the steel beams was substandard, and they had actually gone into the North Tower and had been re-spraying the steel so that it would have more insulation on the steel. I think that's incredibly proactive for a building that's already up and already occupied, to redo that goopy-looking white stuff that's put on those steel beams. I mean, mm-hmm. Who would even guess that a building would have fire in it enough to break and melt a steel beam, but those are the codes.
There's also a discrepancy with how hot the fires got to be able to even weaken the steel beams.
Well, steel loses its temper at a certain amount of heat and over a certain amount of time.
Yeah, I think it's like 1,500 degrees it starts to weaken, and it starts to melt at 2,700 or something like that. I think they
But
were.
If you, you know, the reason that we're fighting over oil is fuel oil, that's kerosene in a jet engine, running jet engine. That's kerosene.
Mm-hmm.
J8 in most cases. And they back it down just a bit so it doesn't spontaneously ignite. But there is more energy per cubic meter of jet fuel than there is in almost anything else that we make that's liquid other than, you know, atomic energy or something. So that's why oil is such a good source of energy. It's cheap oil, it's cheap energy. It's very concentrated. It's very efficient.
Mm-hmm. And you said, like, you've looked at other videos, other
people's
videos?
Everybody I knew, you know, they knew who I was and where I was. Everybody sent me all of this stuff, and I've looked at it.
But you've seen, like, other videos of the plane going in? Like, some videos you see the wings disappearing.
Oh, yeah.
The videos...
So what bothers me isn't the World Trade Center. That one I'm flat clean about. But the Pentagon, that's another issue. That thing really didn't. That doesn't make sense yet.
Well, yeah, there's also, yeah, the Pentagon and the Shanksville situation, too, eh?
I don't mind the Shanksville thing, but the Pentagon thing, that was very bizarre. I don't trust them. The World Trade Center, on the other hand, there's no issues there. There just aren't.
Well, like, I guess you yourself...
I was home for the first bombing in 93.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard it, the explosion bounced off New Jersey and came back to where we were living, and my wife and I were both home at the time.
And you said you saw both planes hit the World Trade Center then.
Oh, nice.
And you didn't, like, see a plane in the air and then see an explosion. You've actually seen the plane hit?
Planes, saw them with my own eyes. Tracked them right in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe stuff until I see it with my own eyes. I didn't believe hummingbirds existed until I was 24 because I'd never seen one with my own eyes.
Well, I just, no offense, with what I'm saying, but I don't believe the official story.
It doesn't matter. I mean, belief isn't the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence.
And, well, just like looking at the videos, I don't think we're seeing a realistic collision between the plane and the building. Like,
I saw them with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Can't tell you anything different. I have no reason. I would rather believe there's a conspiracy. The conspiracy is political. You know, and if you watch Charlie Wilson's War, you'll see. It's all there. Mike Nichols produced a very interesting movie. We sponsored a secret war in Afghanistan against the Russians. It came up to $1 billion a year by the time they were done. The Saudis were backing all of our money, 50-50. And when they were done, the Afghanis had done their job and they had beaten the Russians. And then the Americans left.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's when they made Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading up about that too, yeah.
So that's actually the debate right now going on in the Iraqi war, you know. Should we pull out as soon as possible, or, you know, do we have some more to do? James Glantz, who's one of the New York Times, he's one of the first New York Times people that contacted me. He has an incredible story right now about Iraq having huge amount of billions of dollars from the profits from the oil sales. They're sitting in a bank in New York, but it's Iraq's money. And they're not spending their own money to rebuild their own country.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that on CNN all day.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a very important... James Glantz is a very important New York Times writer, and it's because he comes at it from an infrastructure point of view. And he did all the very good work on the with NIST and with the 9/11 stuff. Very interesting reporter. Very ethical.
You seem to be knowledgeable about 9/11 and the issues surrounding it. Do you think there's anything that people are overlooking?
Just overlooking that our government, first of all, pre pretty much caused it to begin with, and second, exploited it after it happened.
Well, so you think that the U.S. government let it happen so they could exploit it after the fact?
There's a strategy of aggression that's present in our government, and it's based on the Bush administration and their position. I actually think the Bush administration probably had it on their calendar before they took office to invade Iraq for idiot reasons. And, you know, I still debate it now, but we've spent, what, $880 billion? Something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, results, who knows? I don't know. My family's completely affected by it because there was a divorce and there's children that I haven't seen except for 10 hours in the last 4 years. And like I mentioned, my wife was 7 months pregnant when we were next door and it blew up. So post-traumatic stress hit her 3 years later, and then we were exploited by the government, and I was fighting with it today with the state legislatures and two federal cases in the Brooklyn and Manhattan courts.
Oh, yeah? Do you know people that have suffered health problems because of what happened?
No, and frankly, I think they're all just babies. I mean, there's probably some people that have some health problems, but that's a distraction from the real issue. I was next door to it since 91. I couldn't evacuate Claire for 2 days. We came back 2 weeks later, lived in it, in that neighborhood a block away. For the 2 days that I was there, I used fire hoses and cleaned the roof and the building. And I was there the whole time. And I'm somebody who is fair-skinned and has had allergies all my life. I have no lung problem. I ran 3 miles a day.
Oh, yeah?
I saw a lot of greed. There's an enormous amount of greed and opportunism going on still, and that's why there's nothing that's been built. But the issue about people having lung damage, I'm sorry, but, you know, they're exploiting it, and you know, the people who really need emotional or physical care, that's not happened. I'm grateful for the firemen, but it's also true many of the firemen backed up their trucks, ripped open doors, and were looting the place. So, there's a truth to this, and it's not that people got lung issues. My daughter was in the womb. She's now 6 3/4. She's perfectly fine. My son, who was next door, saw the whole thing with their own eyes. We lived there through that whole 4 or 5 months of fire. He's perfectly fine. I'm happy that the politicians are supporting all the issues about people and potential problems, but what they skipped the good psychiatry, and they skipped understanding post-traumatic stress, and then, in our case, the matrimonial courts are exploitive and designed to destroy families. So that is my particular focus. Physically, we're fine. Mentally, we're not.
So there's still, issues of, like, traumatization and stuff like that that are...
I have an 18-month... I have an order of protection that lasts until the children are 18.
And so have you been in court over issues of 9/11 then, or?
Right.
Oh, I see. Well, that's pretty interesting, actually. What, you also said you got video footage of the engine that was on...
On my tape, you see the engine flying out of the, off the plane and streaking across the...
Was that where you could see the smoke, trail?
Yeah.
But when you look on the side of the, building, where it would have came out, there's no holes.
Yeah, it popped straight through. Absolutely did, and it landed on DC Street.
Like it would have
I saw the engine on DC Street.
You saw it there yourself, or you saw it, like, on TV and on pictures?
For myself.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
So you went right down, like you were walking down?
Yep, I was walking around that whole time.
And that was right on the corner. Wasn't the engine found under scaffolding?
It is, but it's basically right there on BC Street. There's a whole bunch of stuff there, but it was just sitting right out in the open.
It was on the sidewalk, right?
Yep.
And it was under scaffolding?
There was scaffolding there. One of the buildings was doing some facade work. I don't know what it was, but I saw it right out on the sidewalk.
And was there a lot of news reporters around that area, too? That you...
Was the first 2 days, and everybody... It's hard to explain, but the first 2 days, nobody was thinking clearly.
Oh, I can imagine.
Nobody. I mean, nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I don't think people are thinking clearly yet.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to seem to agree that the collision between the plane and the building looks rather peculiar.
Although, I don't think it's peculiar. I think it's exactly what physics shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you see any other plane parts on the ground anywhere besides the engine?
I don't. I saw the engine. There was stuff all over the place. The whole place was a mess.
And when the buildings came down, did you hear, like they... In a pancake collapse, you would expect there to be, like, floor on top of floor at the end.
No, you expect them to topple down like dominoes straight on top of each other and destroy while they're in the air. You have to really think of these as a child's project making a bridge for a science class, trying to make the strongest structure with the least amount of material.
Yeah, but...
They're not the Empire State Building. The Empire State Building was made with tons and tons of brick. These were made as lightweight buildings.
Although, even, like, when a plane would hit, like, a telephone pole or something, it would rip right through the wing.
These are not telephone poles.
Well, yeah, they're steel, thick steel beams. What, placed every so many feet?
But when an airplane hits a telephone pole, it's usually a small plane like a Cessna or something that's been skidding across the ground. These planes are going at full speed.
Mhm.
And they were loaded with fuel.
And so
their mass, I don't know how much science you've had, but the physical mass, the momentum, the kinetic momentum, is different when you have that level, those speeds. It's just different. If you had a ball of water, a glob of water, and it hit the wall and it was going 5 miles an hour, that would be one thing. But if you had a glob of water going 500 miles an hour, even though it has no structure whatsoever, it would be very, very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
I do. I'm 100% certain.
Yeah.
No doubt whatsoever. One of the interesting things about Aristotle or the early mathematicians is that nothing was really believable until people could find ways to prove something. At that point, math became reliable and science became a science. And you could do a test and it would be reliable and peers could review it. And it would hold up to evidence. That was Mist's approach. Particularly my point of view, I'm standing next to the thing, I see the planes hit with my own eyes, and I see the buildings fall. That's it. It'd be interesting if it were more, but it's not. The thing at the Pentagon, I don't understand, but I don't trust the Pentagon anyway. They just had their first trial in Guantanamo. The Supreme Court said, yes, if you hold people, no matter who they are, they have rights. But this person who was found guilty today was basically Osama bin Laden's chauffeur, and they chose him first because they wanted to see what kind of things were they going to be able to get away with legally in a trial. It's not a real trial. A trial by a And the Supreme Court was correct. If we're holding any human being, they have rights. Those are the better fights. The fight over what hit the World Trade Center is not is a distraction from the more important fights. Is no, we don't torture people. No, we don't hold people without giving them rights. Yes, habeas corpus was written to prevent abuse of power by government. And who's telling the truth? But these were two planes that hit the buildings. I'm 100% sure. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And NIST didn't care one way or another what the answer was. But their evidence showed them what the answer was.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence showed me what the answer was. But the political aggression of the United States is another issue.
Like, when did you release your video on the internet, or did you even at all?
I didn't release it.
Or did you give it to any news agencies or anything? Or?
I gave it to whoever wanted it, who was going to use it without exploitation, and I charged them $1, or they signed the release.
Okay. Because I've never seen your footage on any of the news channels or anything like that.
Right. They were all very respectful.
Well, that's good, yeah.
And I didn't want to invite anybody to exploit it. Michael Moore used the sound of the impact of the second plane. His movie starts, and after about 10 minutes of business, the screen goes black, and everybody's sitting in the theater thinking the movie may have, you know, light needs splicing or something. And then you hear the second explosion. And then the lights come back up. He used it with great dramatic effect.
Like, yeah, the sound, too. Like, the sound of the of the airplane on some videos is really loud, and then on some videos it's hardly there at all.
Right. Like, and the sound is actually very appropriate for forensics, because the kinetics of the timing of the building and of the explosion are all actually more interesting in terms of the sound than even the visual. You actually get a lot more information out of the sound.
Mm-hmm. Like, you must have been able to hear the second plane coming in from a long way away, no?
Well, as I said, no, it did a 180.
Oh, that's right, it did a 180, yeah. What about the first plane? How did it come in? Just straight down?
Yep.
It didn't wobble or anything? Or?
Straight in.
Because I guess the only video there is the French guys, they're the Naudé brothers.
Right.
Footage, and then there's one other guy that caught it, but you can hardly see. But even in the Naudé footage, it doesn't seem to really look like a Boeing 757.
No, 777.
One was a 767, one was a 757, I think.
I think they were both identical.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were both 777.
Although, yeah, in their footage, it doesn't look anything like it. And you see the hole, even the hole doesn't appear.
It looks exactly like it, and they both had the same impact. One was going, the first plane was going a little slower. The second plane, even though it did a 180, actually hit a little faster.
Like, which way would it have did the 180? Coming around from the east?
It went across the Hudson, and then did a 180. Going west to east, and then impacted the third down on the east edge of the second of the Southern Tower.
Did you notice any other planes flying by at the time of the second explosion?
There were normal planes in the air. One of the things that surprised me was the F-16s that were scrambled out of New Jersey showed up like 30 minutes after the second plane hit. But I actually know that story because there was a Coast Guard employee who was very close friends with the deputy mayor. And he worked with a group called AMVAR, which is a radar group that keeps track of all the boats across the oceans. And it's a way for our government, for the United States government, to know where all the boats are that are of all countries. And when the first plane hit, he telephoned the deputy. Deputy Mayor within 10 minutes, and he said, look, you've got a terrorist attack. You need to scramble the jets. And the Deputy Mayor said, we don't scramble jets across United States territory. I know they're on alert, but, you know, the practical matter is we don't scramble fighter jets. And he said, no, you really should. And he said, well, you know, I'll make a couple calls, but he didn't seem urgent about it. And when the second plane hit, the Coast Guard staffer called the Deputy Mayor again, and the man said, okay, now I know it's real, and he asked them to scramble the jets. And 20 minutes later, I saw, 20 minutes after the first, as the second plane hit, I saw two F-16s strafe the air. They were useless at that point. And I don't know what they would have done anyway. You know, you've got two commercial jets that are off course, and you've got people in them. I do not know what anybody would do if they were piloting an F-16. I don't know what they would do. I don't know what they do now, what their instructions would be.
Yeah, that's strange that you said that. One of the guys said they don't launch F-16.
There was no rehearsal for this.
I seem to have read they had war games, war exercises going on with this exact same scenario was on that day. And there was one guy that was recorded from FEMA for the tripod exercise or something. They said they got into town late Monday night and were ready to go in action Tuesday morning, which was very strange because all that stuff happened Tuesday morning.
Well, there's some other very strange things going on with airline stocks, and those are accurate stories.
Oh, well, the put options and everything like that, yeah.
Those are accurate stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it sounds like you've looked into a lot of the information and stuff.
Right, and I think the problem is the government. I don't think the problem is the two planes hitting the building.
Well, I wouldn't think that the Bush administration was masterminds of 9/11.
They're idiots.
I think they might have been puppets or pawns, but not masterminds.
Right. That's right. See, I actually think George Bush Sr., is actually educated and actually has real experience. He was the director of the CIA for a number of years.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. He's a very smart man.
He's a very smart. His son, on the other hand, is an idiot. I can't even think of a single... That idiot was in Vietnam, couldn't get out of the car, and said we didn't learn anything from Vietnam. And I was thinking to myself, no, you didn't learn anything from Vietnam.
Yeah, I'd like to see that new movie from Oliver Stone called W. I wonder how they'll... I think they're going to portray him as like a party animal fool or something.
He's an idiot. He's a complete idiot. That's the problem. And I think the best question to Bill Clinton... even about Hillary was, is it bad when you have a dynasty? And you said, yes, it is bad. You know, you need fresh, new, intelligent, educated adults who don't owe anybody anything, who, you know, are running a government. Bush W. is not one of those people. My colleague from my public high school in Cincinnati is Elizabeth Boumiller. She was assigned to cover the Giuliani White House, the Giuliani City Hall by the New York Times. On September 10th, she was 2001, she was transferred to the White House to begin covering the White House for the New York Times. And 9/11 happened. And her reporting is intelligent, accurate as possible. And she's talked candidly about the Bush group, and she says, they're really goofy. They meet secretly in little groups and pray four or five times a day and, you know, think they know everything. She can't, as a reporter, get information from them. She has to go out to all the other agencies and say, what did you get as a memo today? And then she has to go back to the White House and say, okay, they got this memo over in DEP and EPA. You know, is this true? Is it coming from your executive orders? I mean, it's just complete paranoid, controlling, non-thinking people who don't take input.
And this lady said that they pray multiple times a day?
Times a day, small groups with the Bible.
With the Bible. That seems a little hard to believe.
I'm only repeating.
I know, it's kind of funny.
I agree, but you know what? I don't doubt that it's true.
Well, I don't think George Bush is a Christian or a Catholic or anything.
Oh, no, he's very much a Bible-carrying Christian.
No, I think
that doesn't mean he has a brain. This is a religious war in the Middle East.
Oh, I understand that. I definitely understand that. Were you ever in any kind of organizations?
I like the Democrats. I worked a little on Jimmy Carter's advance team. I worked with John Glenn, who I liked, and I still do.
Are you yourself like a fellow traveler?
No, but I am an intelligent adult, and I think we need to make sure that we participate and make our world better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I thank you very much for your time.
Anytime.
Okay, I really appreciate you talking to me.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
Okay, you take care.
Bye.